Here's another inspiring message from Northside Community Church, Sydney.
Hey, here's something that I think is true for all of us. Have you found this? That people impact how you act. You notice that? I noticed it as a kid. We were having a holiday up at the Blue Mountains, and my parents thought that it'd be a lovely, hospitable thing to do to house a German tourist for a couple of nights. We met him down at Bridal Veil Falls or something like that. We were chatting about a lookout, and my parents are never hospitable, but they decided to bring him back at this point, right, Dad? And so we brought this tourist back, and they thought it was wonderful. I hated it. I couldn't stand it because as a kid, you know, if you've got a guest in your house, you've got to be on your best behaviour. And have you noticed this? It's really weird, you know, and they're kind of weird, and you've got to get the good towels out, and you've got to have the old towels, and they've got to have all the good stuff, and you've got to all sit at the dinner table together instead of watching television whilst you eat dinner. And so your whole behaviour changes because people impact how you act. Now, it may not be a German tourist, but you see this in your life if you're a new parent. As I saw Karina this morning with little Artie, who's having a little moment this morning, her life has been impacted by how that little one acts. Maybe you've got a different boss at work. Ever been through that situation? Someone comes in over the top and now life is a little bit more miserable than it was before this new person came into your life. Maybe it's a new boyfriend or girlfriend. That's so exciting when that happens. Like you suddenly, you know, just when you're around, invite them around to watch a movie with you in a place that's normally got socks all over the floor and absolutely filthy, and it's perfectly clean. Ever noticed when it's a new boyfriend or girlfriend, it's like every moment is an audition. You're on your best behavior because people impact how you act. Now look, bosses, boyfriend, girlfriends, kids, German tourists, that is one thing. But what if the guest in your home was the God of the universe? Don't you think that should change how you act? And the truth that we're going to see this morning of the Holy Spirit, because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, a topic which is really quite confusing in a lot of churches, and we're just a couple of weeks to dispel the myths on this. And Joe Corman, our business manager, will finish the series next week as a guest preacher. It'll be great to have her back on the platform. The people impact how you act, and we will learn the truth this morning that the Holy Spirit is a person, and a person should impact how you act. And yet, I don't know if you found this, church, but if you found this over the years with Christians, that there are people over the years who are Christians who say that they've received the Holy Spirit, and their life looks no different. Certainly not in this church. I'm just talking anecdotally. Yeah, people that sit in the one spot year after year after year, and the God of the universe resides in their life, and their behaviors look no different. They're just as cranky. They're just as angry. They're just as bitter. They're just as gossipy as everyone else, and the God of the universe is residing inside them. People should impact how you act. And I think part of the reason that we almost get away with this, Christians, is because if you're anything like me, for years and years, I thought of the Holy Spirit as a force. You know, and I'm a kid that grew up on Star Wars, right? So it's only natural that, you know, it just Christians are people got extra dose of midichlorians. And so I just thought the Holy Spirit was the force. You know, kind of, I used to pray like that as a kid, you know, Holy Spirit, like, can you just move the cup like Luke Skywalker on the table? If you're there, God, just make the cup move just a little bit. And I think when we begin to think of the Holy Spirit only as a force, then we are more at risk of treating the Holy Spirit as a genie when in fact he is a guide. You know how we treat the Holy Spirit like that? You know, we just pray the Holy Spirit's like a genie, you rub the lamp. And if I just pray the right way, or if I've just lived my life the right way this week, or if I just feel this little bit of extra holiness, then the Spirit is going to move in our life. Ever had that train of thought? That if we just get the lights right, and if Belinda's really on fire this morning, and that if we've all got our best voices, then the Spirit's going to move. And that this force is going to go out amongst us. And in many ways, yes, the Spirit's a force, but what we're going to see very clearly from Jesus this morning is that the Spirit is an it. The Spirit is a he. And we see this because Jesus makes it so clear. Imagine what you've got to do, right? You're about to go away. from your disciples forever. You've been living with them for 3 years. Can you imagine the pressure on Jesus in that upper room, where like every word, I think, he would have been hanging on. Every word he's going like, if I waste a sentence here, that's a sentence I don't get back with them in this form at least. And so Jesus chooses his words very, very carefully. He chooses his topics carefully in John chapter 16, which is the final moments of Jesus' life in the upper room. And this is what he says to his disciples, "Very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate," underline that if you brought your physical Bible with you, "will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he," underline the Spirit of truth, "comes, he will guide you on all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine." And that's why I said, the Spirit will receive from me, and he, underline, "will make known to you." Is it just me? Does that kind of sound like a person? He didn't say it.
He didn't say, "The force will be with you."
The Holy Spirit's a person. And I think it is like the most genius invention of God that he's ever had. Because you imagine this, like you've got this ragtag band of disciples. Like even the makeup of the disciples, you've got a couple of zealots, you've got a guy that's betrayed you, you've got a tax collector that no one wants to talk to. This is his crack team to go and give birth to this movement that would eventually change the world. It's those guys that he starts with. How in the world in 3 years is he going to train them to change the world? And so here's Jesus' problem. How do you do that in the lives of the disciples? How do you frankly do it with our lives? I don't know if you've checked lately, but I'll be honest with you. Last time I checked my life, it's a mess, right? I think the best way, like all parents know this terrifying thought that's ahead of us in the next few years. It's going to go before we know it. But you know that moment as a parent where you've got to hand your keys over to the kids and say, "You're driving on your own now"? Now, before any parent allows a kid to go around with that level of weaponry that is a car, they do one thing. They get in and you have learner drivers. And what we see from Jesus here in this passage is he says, "I'm going away, but you know what? Someone needs to be with you to drive this thing." And so he says, "You know what? I'm getting in the car. I'm gonna tell you how to drive. I'm going to be your guide," which I think is so wonderfully vital for us when we think about it, hey? Because haven't you found in most of your life's problems at the moment that you don't necessarily need some super answer from God to fall out of the sky? You need a guide. You need wisdom. How do you make decisions when there are multiple right decisions? We're all L platers. And the great news for this morning is that Jesus gives us a version of himself. The Holy Spirit is the divine, personal resident of the Christian's heart. Right away, we see throughout the scriptures, the world cannot accept him. He's a person in John chapter 16. Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit is said to be grieved. In Hebrews chapter 10, you can outrage the Holy Spirit. In Romans 15, it says that the Holy Spirit loves. So he loves, he grieves, he's outraged, he guides. That sounds like a person. It sounds like a person to me. And here's what I want you to see, and this is why this is so important. That when you see the Holy Spirit as a person and not some vague, impersonal force, it means that you have this divine person right in the middle of your life, and it changes the way that you approach your spirituality. We're not like Eastern spirituality, which is all God is force field. And that you go in spirituality to rid your mind of the things of the world and there's no thoughts and you need to clear your mind and move all of that. No, what we'll see from the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is to fill your mind with the thoughts of this person who resides in you. And so a German tourist is one thing, but how would it change how you act if you know that the divine God of the universe resides within you? Because people impact how you act, right? I found out this the hard way, didn't I, hun, in the early stages of our marriage? I was here at church. I was working back late. And as all good pastors do, I was evangelizing to the cleaner. I'd been working on him for years. Shambu was a lovely guy, and he'd been cleaning with us for a number of years. And the moment was here. It was meant to be. It was like God was right there in the moment. And so Shambu's finally, after years of cleaning here, started asking questions about God. So we're sitting on the stairs out there, and I'm chatting through, and we're talking about all sorts of things of God, and it's great, and I'm having a great time. Anyway, I get back to my office and look at my phone. There's like 36 missed calls. And Kristen Haddon. 36 missed calls. So I call her up. I said, what's happened, hon? And she goes, where are you? Where are you? I thought you died. I've checked the park across the road. I've almost called the police. I've asked my dad to come down and have a look. Where are you? And I'm like, babe, I've just been evangelizing at work. Hours, was it? See what I mean? When you're in your spiritual sweet spot, time flies. People impact how you act. When we move into any form of relationship with a person, there is a mutual commitment and impact on each other that you have with a person that you just don't have with an object. This iPad does not leave 36 missed calls with me and say, where have you been? This iPad doesn't move into my life and say, Sam, I think should you really be doing that? This iPad doesn't come and say, Sam, I'm not sure that is the wisest decision. A person, there is a level of mutual commitment to a person that's like a wrestle, right? And so this is why it's so vital to see the Holy Spirit as a person. Because as we'll see in a second now, there are some parallels with dealing with people in your life to the way that we deal with the Holy Spirit, and more importantly, the way that the Holy Spirit deals with you. You ready for it? If people impact how you act, first thing we see is that a person relates to you. John chapter 16, verse 14, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So really interestingly, can you see straight away that the Holy Spirit as a person is mutually committed to Jesus as a person? He will only speak what he hears from Jesus as a person. So you have this chain of communication. And he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so can you see that there is relationship there? Not only between us and the Holy Spirit, but between Jesus and the Holy Spirit acting as two distinct persons. And so that person relates to you, right? There's a relationship there. I know some of you here, for example, you're big pet people. And I know that some of you here think that you've got a relationship with your pet dog. And every now and then, it's the job of a pastor just to ground you in truth and to say you really don't have a relationship with your pet dog. I know you think you do, and you love it, and it's beautiful, and some of you have beautiful pet dogs. In fact, Gail's pet dog over the years up there was just one of our favorites, wasn't it, Gail? It was a very special friend. But it's not really the relationship that we're talking about here, the depth of relationship that we're talking about here, because there's no exchange of ideas. You can sense emotion from a dog. You can sense almost a special connection, but you're not talking about the conflict in the Middle East with your pet dog. Right, there's no exchange of ideas. And yet the miraculous thing that we see in the sending of the Holy Spirit as a person is that we'll see there's an exchange of ideas. Your thought patterns are changed by the way that the Holy Spirit interacts with you. But more interestingly, it solves a great problem. Can you see what God's problem is here, church? God's problem is that our intellect compared to him, or our initial relationship between us and him, is the same parallel as a pet dog and their owner. We can sense him. We can feel the emotions. We can sense the companionship and the presence. But until there is a mechanism to have an exchange of ideas, then there's no real relationship. And so a person relates to you. But secondly, here's the other thing I've realized too. You might see this from your friend. A person not only relates to you, but a person, a good person, will call you out. Have you ever noticed this, that a good person calls you out? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will guide you into all truth. Here's what it means here. Hey, have you ever been in one of those moments where you've been dirty at a friend, kind of a bit annoyed at them, PO'd, as my kids would say, if they're trying not to swear? That means something, apparently. You know, have you ever been dirty with a friend? And then another friend calls you out on it and says, no, that's not what they meant. When they said that, that's not what they meant. They didn't mean that. They meant this. And you know, in that moment where you hear it differently from someone else who's called you out, and you go, ah, oh, okay, that makes sense now. And you're no longer dirty with them. What's that friend doing? That friend is guiding you into the truth through calling you out. And what is really interesting in that moment is that you don't have necessarily any more information than what you had before. That friend calling you out is taking information and making it real to you. Hear the difference? And so much of the job of the Holy Spirit is not so much to give us revelation. That's what we Christians would call us. New thoughts, fresh thoughts. The role of the Holy Spirit is not so much to give us revelation, but to give us the current information that you already have and make it real to you. To call you out and to say, that's not the way it is. That's not how it works. And the word there for the Spirit of truth here, if you want to get right down into the Greek, it's the word allos parakletos. Para meaning to come alongside, and kaleo meaning to call. And what it's describing is someone to come alongside you and to call you out. And so in that one passage, here are the ways that Jesus describes the Holy Spirit. He uses multiple phrases. And when you see multiple phrases of the same word, then you know that it's a very rich word. He says advocate, Spirit of truth, friend, and then he uses this vital word that I love, counselor. And you know what I love the word counselor? What do counselors do, guys? Counselors are people that you just pay lots and lots and lots of money to in order to just ask you questions so that you come up with answers that you already had. Ever notice that? That's what counselors do. All great counselors just ask you, what are they doing? They're taking information that you already have and making it real to you. What does a counselor do? A counselor guides you into all truth. They call you out. Kaleo. So the role of that Holy Spirit is to not so much give you new information, but to make that information real to you, which then changes the way that we interact with the Spirit. Instead of praying, Lord, I need to make this decision. Can you tell me if it's left or right? Just tell me if it's left or right. Is it left? Is it right? The Holy Spirit is the sort of person that says, Sam, you've been doing this for years. You've been reading the Word of God. You know what is a wise and a sensible decision. And by the way, you also know that God is a sovereign God and He can even make bad things good and your good things better. So just make a flippant decision. You already have all the information you need. Make a decision. The Holy Spirit calls you out. Here's the last thing that the Holy Spirit does with you. Like all good people, a person not only relates to you, not only calls you out, but a person argues with you. And that's what I've found over the years. Not basing this on anyone particular in my life. Any good, loving person who really knows you well, and thank God they know me well, argues with me when I'm stepping outside the bounds of what is good and what is right and what is true to me. And I'm always so grateful for that argument. And here's what I believe this means. The Holy Spirit is not here just to defend you from the enemies on earth, but the Holy Spirit is here to defend you against the enemies of your own heart. And here's what I mean by that. Have you guys ever found that when you wake up first thing in the morning, there's like a voice inside your head that's already talking to you? Anyone discovered that? Yeah, thank you for nodding, a few of you. Otherwise, I sound a bit crazy at the moment, okay? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Okay. Right? And I have this voice inside my head. And when I wake up, this voice is always talking to me every morning. And most of the time, it's bad news. And this voice is always down. Oh, it's got another thing today. Don't forget that you had to do that. Oh, got another thing. Right? The job of the Holy Spirit is to be a voice that comes into you and to argue against that. You know that that's not true. You know that God's not like that. It's that voice that when you're up against suffering and hardship in your life, when you begin to make the mistake that if life is bad, God is bad. And it's the role of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves to come in and say to you, Sam, you know that is not the case. Sam, you know that He's a good God. Sam, you know that He is for you. Sam, you know that He is sovereign. Sam, you know that He died for you. He's the sort of voice when you come in and you want to walk into church, you're in that mode and you're like, God, if anyone knew what I'd done in my life this morning, they would think that the roof is going to cave in this church. I must be the worst of all sinners in this place this morning. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to come in and say, you know that He died and He paid for that. As far as the east is from the west, He remembers your sin no more. So why don't you stand up and just start worshiping with as much confidence as if you'd lived without any sin in your life. You need the Holy Spirit sometimes to argue this into your head. The other night, elders were talking about someone in this church that you're graciously sharing in the ministry time still struggles with the concept of God's grace. And don't we all? I just feel like I've just got to get more of my life together. The Holy Spirit says, no, you are as loved now as you will be in the next 10,000 years by God. Come on, wake up, child. That's how the Holy Spirit argues with you. And aren't you glad that anyone experienced this? Anyone experienced this divine magic when in your lowest moments, something breaks in? Something that shouldn't have. Something that is, beyond us and otherworldly. Something that proves to us, first of all, that we're not crazy. But proves to us that there is a dynamic force and voice from heaven itself. Kind of like a drop of rain that has seeped through a tarpaulin because of a body of water that's just been sitting there overnight. Like we can sense that the kingdom is right with us. And in the essence of that moment of thought, it's like it's broken through into our lives. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to argue with you this morning. Some of you need to get into an argument with the Holy Spirit this morning, frankly, because you've allowed that voice in your head too much to preach to you, and you need that voice to preach back to you. Are you arguing with yourself, or is it just possible that you are not going crazy, but you are arguing with a divine person that resides at the center of your soul? And so a person relates to you, they call you out, but thank goodness this person, the Holy Spirit, argues with you. And so as we finish this morning, it's merely this question that I have for you this morning. How would things be different for you? How would things change for you if you viewed the Holy Spirit as a person and not a force? Would it change the way that you pray? Would it change the way that you talk to God? Would it change the way that you listen to those thought patterns in your head that you think is just a little bit of your own craziness? What if what you hear in those moments is that divine person, that still small voice, as we've seen throughout the scriptures, the voice that guided Jesus Christ, a human being who had to listen to exactly the same voice in every step of His ministry, is available to you this morning. Are you up against it? Do you need wisdom? Do you need guidance? Do you need assurance that God is with you? That is the role of the Holy Spirit, and that is what He has just birthed.
Well, thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to find out more about Northside, visit northsidechurch.org.au.